Hello, everyone. Welcome back to National Park After Dark. We have our trail tales today and we have lots of special stories for you. But in case you are listening and not watching on YouTube, you must know that Danielle is wearing a shirt that says MILF on it today.
Oh, yes. It got me.
Man, I love frogs.
Man, I love frogs. Yeah. And it's like one of those Instagram ads. I think we talked about this on a Trail Tales like a few weeks ago.
I think we did too. Follow
Hopefully.
Up.
And maybe it wasn't. Maybe it was just a private conversation. I'm not sure. But yeah, the targeted Instagram ads got me, wore me down. This thing was everywhere. It was in my Instagram. It was in my Google. I know everything's connected and it's a whole thing. But
yeah, I've never seen that on my Instagram ad. So it was like for you specifically.
Specifically. It's because I lingered on it too long once. And it was like, she must need this.
Love
in her
frogs.
Life. Man, she must love frogs. So yeah, I got it.
Looks great.
Thank you. I usually wear it to bed. And actually, I did wear it to bed last night. And
it's like, I'm still in my PJs.
I'm actually hungover right now. And I'm having
a
hard time.
Which is a rarity. A rarity.
It is a rarity, but I am here for work with a smile on my face. Yeah, I was telling Cassie before the recording, but in my quest to fall back in love with New England, I've been doing different adventures and tours and things around the area. And last night I went to a historic building. It's the Library Restaurant in Portsmouth, New Hampshire. It's in a really historic building. It's beautiful. I've been there before, but they were offering a special event where they did like a wine tasting, food pairing, kind of intertwined with a historic tour. So like between courses and wines, they would tell you the history of the building and its life since the 1700s and kind of a little bit about the old rough and tumble version of Portsmouth, which was super interesting. 15,000 sailors, 60 brothels, 150 taverns, and 2 police officers.
Wow.
So
those police
it's the Wild West of the East.
Anything. Yeah.
But anyways, so I thought it was going to be a wine tasting, which is great. And it was, but they gave full glasses of wine and there was 4 rounds and the event was only like 2 hours or less. And I don't drink often. And if I do, it's like one cocktail. My bod is just not what it used to be. And
it can't hang.
I'm having a very difficult time. I texted my mom this morning. I'm like, I feel like I got hit by a train. Like I don't feel well at all. Meanwhile,
yesterday.
She's totally fine. But yeah, anyway, that's why I'm in my PJs, half of my PJs still. And I really do love this shirt. Like the colors are nice, right?
Yeah, it's aesthetically pleasing and it's funny.
Yeah, I
love
how it's
like, I understand why the Instagram got you.
Okay, yeah, so we have Trail Tales. Anyone that's tuning in for the first time ever, welcome. Trail Tales are our episodes where we share listener stories that are submitted by our audience, and we each read 3 and do 2 bonus ones if you're a part of our subscription through Apple or Patreon. So do you want to go first or would you like me to go first?
I would love to go first.
Thank God. I need a moment.
Perfect.
Great.
My first one is titled Spooky State Park Experience. Hello, Cassie and Danielle. My name is Derek, and I have a quick story about an experience I had camping in the Hiwassee Ocoee Scenic River State Park in East Tennessee. I very much apologize if I butchered that. I just have never heard of this before.
There's no way that can be correct. So
Hiwassee Ocoee.
Let me look at the
Ocoee. I think Ocoee might be right.
Hiwassee
Ocoee Scenic. Sorry for everyone who knows what this is and is like, you're not saying it right. I did not read this beforehand. It's all of our first times learning the story. A group of friends and I got a group camping site in Gee Creek Campground in October of 2019 to enjoy the introduction of the cool fall months. When we arrived and set up camp in the late afternoon, one of my friends pulls out a bag of little chocolates containing a spore-bearing fungal fruiting body of undisclosed species. We took a little and started a fire and let the evening set in. So, drugs.
Thank you for clarifying. Yeah.
In case anyone. Little chocolate containing drugs.
MILF. Man, I love fungus.
It really goes with everything.
It does. I know. And we're just beginning.
As it starts to get close to dusk and we're beginning to experience the chocolates a bit, clouds and frontal winds start pushing in, giving the campsite an eerie fall feeling. I went to the tree line away from camp to pee at one point, and to my left, in the corner of my eye, I see a shadow about the size of a bear trotting on all fours towards the tree line from the field that we're in. I shook it off, blaming it on the chocolates, and went to camp. Throughout the rest of the evening, until I finally go to sleep, I am hearing dozens of slightly high-pitched giggling and whispering coming from the tree line surrounding us. I have done quote-unquote chocolates many times before, but have never had this type of experience. I attributed it to distorted sounds of insects, but it was cool that night, and insects really aren't prominent during this time of year. I would get close to the tree line to investigate, and the sounds wouldn't change. They would just get closer. I finally decided to crawl into my tent to lay down, listening to the giggling slash whispering right outside until I fell asleep. The next day, I couldn't shake off the unique experience, so when I got home later that day, I did research on the history of the area. Not surprisingly, I find that the place had been inhabited by the Cherokee for thousands of years. However, what really shook me was that on the other side of that same tree line, not a quarter of a mile away from our camp, was an old fort called Fort Marr that was used to stockade in 1837 to detain Cherokee from the surrounding area prior to forcing them down the Trail of Tears. I know that the chocolates could have very likely been the main cause of my experience, but now I wonder if it opened a door to being laughed at and fucked with by the local native spirits of the area. I haven't been back to this area since, but do plan on going back one day to see if I can get a similar experience while sober. Thanks for all the fun trail tale stories. My wife and I love y'all's podcast. Best, Derek.
Derek, you're just on. Those shrooms were doing wonders for you. In my humble opinion.
Humble opinion, yeah.
I've never been on shrooms.
Laughing and giggling and the noises. I also have not.
I did try one time and it didn't work.
Oh, why didn't it work?
That is a sign.
Were they just like regular mushrooms?
No, maybe. I don't know. It was in college, of course, and they were like sprinkled on a peanut butter sandwich. And yeah.
Mushroom and peanut butter. That's disgusting, first off. But continue.
I understand. Okay. I know. But yeah, I don't know. Like, I was just kind of bracing myself and waiting for something to happen, and nothing ever did. And I was just like, well.
Someone just made you eat a mushroom peanut butter sandwich.
And laughed at me. Was like, laughed at you. Stupid freshman or whatever I was. Yeah. I don't know. But I know enough. They're like, that'll be $200. Thank you. Idiot.
Stupid idiot.
Yeah. But I have seen enough people on shrooms to realize and recognize that that's probably, you just had a good trip in the woods and that's fine. We all deserve luxurious moments, and I'm telling you guys right now, we can all have them at home with Koyuchi, who are in a league of their own when it comes to bedding, bath, and home products. And their organic sateen and flannel sheet sets are the key to more comfortable, healthier sleep year-round. I'm at a time in life where I really want to be intentionally investing in quality products, no matter what they are. I am also aware that we live in a time where there are countless options for almost every product, including lots of choices for organic bedding. But Koyuchi stands above the rest because of their 35-year heritage, their extraordinary quality, and their commitment to ethical production. And that's why I love them. Plus, their vintage patterns, peaceful botanicals, and calming hues bring elements of the natural world that I love so much right into my home. Whether it's bedding or bath towels, table linens, or spa robes, all of Koyuchi's products are of the absolute highest quality, made with natural fibers, low-impact dyes, and certified fair trade. Koyuchi looks great, feels amazing, and is good for your health and the planet.
It's luxury you can feel good about. If you want healthy, handcrafted luxury bedding that lasts a lifetime, you need Koyuchi. Get 20% off when you visit koyuchi.com/npad. That's koyuchi.com/npad to get 20% off. That's koyuchi.com/npad.
Okay, my first story is titled The Chronicles of George the Mouse, The Swish Heard Round the Rim. Hi, Danielle and Cassie. My love for national parks began when I was 14, thanks to my grandma, who is solely responsible for this obsession. She took me on my first park trip. We flew into Jackson Hole, cruised through the Tetons, and spent a week exploring Yellowstone. And since then, I have been hooked. Fast forward to more recent years. Grandma decided she wanted to see the north rim of the Grand Canyon. I live in the Phoenix area, so she flew in from Wisconsin and we hit the road. Now, a few things about this story that are objectively wild, so let's just jump right in. We had cabins right on the rim. Incredible views. My aunt and I shared one that connected to Grandma's. We were tired from traveling and crashed early, probably around 9:30 p.m. One thing you should know about my aunt, she snores, and loudly. Like, could be heard on the south rim. Type of loud.
Oh no.
So I took sleep meds, put in my earbuds, cranked some thunderstorm sounds, and passed out. At 11:15 p.m., I woke up to flashing lights in my face. Confused, groggy, blind, with no contacts in, I realized it was my aunt with her phone flashlight whispering, "I think there's a wild animal in here." Not the thing you want to hear when you're barely conscious. She said she had heard noises outside, maybe a raccoon or a mountain lion, or oddly, a group of people perhaps dancing. She kept hearing a weird swishing sound. Then I heard the swishing. It was coming from the tiny, empty garbage can in the corner. We tiptoed over and she suddenly screamed, "There's a mouse in the trash can." Naturally, she named him George after my 17-year-old brother, which somehow felt fitting. I couldn't actually see George. Again, I was blind. But I heard him launch himself out of the can and scurry across the floor. He dove under the fireplace and disappeared. All that remained in the garbage were a few little pieces of mouse poop inside a flimsy garbage bag that was responsible for the said swishing noise. We were rattled but eventually fell back to sleep. Now you may be thinking, why are you telling us about a mouse in a garbage can? This isn't exactly trail tale material. But hang in there. A few days later, Grandma and I were sitting in the front of the cabin, taking in the canyon views, when she started telling me her own mouse story about a different mouse in her garbage can. She named hers Charlie after my 24-year-old brother. Again, weirdly appropriate. She had tried to trap Charlie by placing a book over the can, hoping he'd go to sleep, ? When that failed, she marched outside in her well-dressed and coffee-obsessed nightgown and released him into the wild. I was dying laughing at the mental image, and right as I was picturing this mouse eviction scene, a park ranger walked up. He asked how long we had been staying and if we had heard anything unusual on our first night there. We both said no and asked why. And with the casual energy of someone commenting on the weather, he said, "Someone was strangled right there last night," and pointed to the trail 30 feet in front of our porch. Excuse me?
What?
I immediately went to get my aunt, the one who had woken up to what she described as rhythmic dancing noises outside of the cabin. She launched into the whole George the Mouse story, shout out to the ranger for patiently listening to that one, and then we realized something wild. Both my aunt and my grandma had woken up at the same exact time, 11:15 p.m. That's when the ranger told us that the crime had been reported to have happened. He did eventually mention that the person was okay after we freaked out for a few minutes. It seemed like he realized he shouldn't have told us someone was strangled and was trying to backtrack on the story. I sure hope that's true and that she really was okay. It seems likely that whatever my aunt and grandma had heard, mysterious swishing, rhythmic dancing, mouse gymnastics, was somehow connected to that incident. And I, of course, heard none of it because I had medicated myself into a thunderstorm coma. Part of me wishes I hadn't had the earbuds in. I'm a light sleeper, so maybe I could have helped. But what could I have done? Called 911 with no service? Scream? Throw George at this strangler? Despite the insane twist, the trip was actually wonderful. On our last night, George returned for an encore. I took a page from Grandma's mouse trapping playbook, put a book on the trash can, and carried him outside. We even left a note for the next guest explaining the mouse catching technique, so I guess you're welcome, strangers. Sadly, about 3 weeks after our stay, the cabin and much of the north rim was destroyed in a fire. It's surreal to think that the lodge where we ate dinner, the visitor center, the gift shop, and the very porch we sipped wine on are all gone now. I truly hope George and his extended family made it out alive. I visited the south rim many times, but this was my first time seeing the north rim. I even rode a mule down part of the North Kaibab Trail. It was an unforgettable experience, and I'm so grateful I got to see it before the fires. So here is my advice. Enjoy the view, watch your back, explore while you can. The opportunity might not always be there. And if a mouse shows up in your cabin, name it something ridiculous and let it crash. It's way more fun than freaking out. Lots of love to the both of you. Grace.
Wow, what a ride of a story.
I know. At first...
From the beginning, like... I didn't know where I was going, and then from the ranger, and then it being the location of the recent fire, I mean, it just had a lot of things going on.
Yeah, I'm not sure if – I don't know what the protocol is as far as, like, disclosing information about someone being strangled is, but, like, if they apprehended the individual that was strangling someone, like, do they have to disclose? Because it's not like a threat. It's not like somebody's out on the loose or on the run.
Yeah. I would imagine that the more, like, I don't know if proper is the right word for it, but to say someone was assaulted instead of giving full details. But I really have no idea. I'm not in law enforcement at all.
Right.
So yeah.
I would want to know for sure.
I would want to know what was going on, especially if I had a similar experience or if I noticed something that was weird. I mean, maybe that's part of telling the truth of what happened in case someone actually does have real information.
Yeah.
That can connect it or heard something. But yeah, it does sound like if they both woke up at the same time and both heard like this scuffling noise, it could have potentially, you could have heard that person being attacked.
Right. Yeah.
I feel like they're probably okay as well, just because if someone was murdered there, it would have been bigger news.
And it would have been a huge investigation. Like, I'm sure you would have recognized that there was some sort of investigation going on, and especially if it was right out front of the cabin.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway, well, I'm glad everyone's okay, and hopefully the mice did survive the fire, but it's not looking good.
You're standing on the beach when you notice something strange. The horizon doesn't look right. At first, all you can see is a thin white line. Then, the line starts to rise. You realize it's not the horizon at all. It's a 30-foot tall wall of water, and it's racing straight towards you. What would you do? On the day after Christmas in 2004, a 9.1 magnitude earthquake hit off the coast of Indonesia, triggering a devastating tsunami. It struck Thailand without warning. No alarms. No cell phone alerts, no evacuation. In this season of Against the Odds, experience one of the deadliest natural disasters in history through the perspectives of those who did everything they could to survive. Follow Against the Odds on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can binge all episodes of Against the Odds, Tsunami in Thailand, early and ad-free right now on Wondery Plus.
Okay. Well, on to my next story. It is titled, Bear Spray Don't Play. Hi there. My name is Mackenzie. Since I have started listening to your guys' podcast back in 2021, every time I go out into the wilderness for a hike or excursion, I say to myself, please don't become a listener tale before my hikes as a pre-hike ritual. Oh man, I feel like you're almost like putting it out into the universe that way. At the same rate, I think to myself, well, it may not be the worst thing to have a cool story to write in though, right? Wrong. My story begins the night before my hike. I was planning a trip to Minnesota's North Shore just for a quick weekend visit as I live just 2 hours south of Duluth. Not sure when you're reading this, but I hope you enjoy / enjoyed your time up there while you came up. You did. It was really fun.
Oh yeah. In Duluth. We got to return to Duluth because
we weren't in Duluth very long. It was like raining and foggy and we couldn't even see it.
Yeah. And every single person we talked to, not just the recommendations that listeners give, but even when we were physically there, like up in the Voyagers area, and we mentioned Duluth, and every single person has the same reaction. Oh my God, we love Duluth.
Duluth is great.
It's we're so like, amazing.
We could barely see it. We went to the Starbucks and
then left.
Drove to Wisconsin and then
yeah, we got to do a redo.
For sure. I was checking things off my list for my upcoming hike. Boots, socks, backpack, self-defense items, and bear spray, of course, as we are in bear country in the Superior National Forest. We have black bear here, but that doesn't mean you won't run into wolves, big cats, and other predators that you may spook slash may spook you on the trail. Anyways, I was sitting in my guest bedroom at my apartment, collecting my gear, and when I got to my bear spray, I noticed the expiration date was coming up this year and thought to myself, I need to get another one of these before my upcoming trip to Voyageurs National Park. I was reading the bottle out of curiosity to see what the protocol for the use of spray was, as I have never actually practiced using the spray. From the looks on the container, it appeared that there is a safety latch that you pull back and then you push a button to the top of the can and this triggers the spray. Because I am curious and dumb, I wanted to pull back the safety to see if it was true that there would be a button there. It wasn't true. As I pulled back the safety, the can let out a solid spray on the white wall of my guest bedroom.
Oh no.
Fun fact, bear spray is brown, or at least the can I have is. It didn't take long for my throat and nose to get pierced with the gas, and coughing and sneezing ensued. Amongst watery eyes and a nose that started running like hell, I got up quickly and shut the door to the guest room, running out to the living room where my dear husband was sitting on the couch. I said to him wearily, we have a slight issue. Knowing me and knowing there's always something I'm up to, he sprung into action and asked what happened. I told him, I sat on the can of spray and it sprayed, as I was too embarrassed to tell him the truth of how the situation came about. My husband, bless his heart, didn't ask many questions, but I am pretty sure by the spray pattern on the wall, he figured it out pretty quickly that I was fibbing. He immediately started to clean the spray up, opening the window in the guest room and bringing a huge box fan from the guest room into the guest room to air it out. He didn't last long before he needed to cover his mouth and nose with towels before making short trips into the guest room while holding his breath to get this cleaned up. Meanwhile, while he was being brave and tackling the spray, I was dying. Let me tell you, I was in the army and having been in the gas chamber during basic training, that was nothing compared to the bear spray. I would have rather gone through the chamber again. I couldn't even stand within 5 feet of the guest room without the gas wafting out into the hall and piercing my nose and throat, causing the sneezes and runny nose to start all over again. When my husband was done cleaning, he asked me if we should put the towel he used to clean the spray in the washing machine. No. We are not keeping the thing, as I'm sure the spray would not leave the towel with a wash. But even if it did wash out, it would remind me of how silly this whole thing was. Or is. I am typing to you as I sit comfortably on the couch, still recovering from the spray while sneezing every few minutes, preparing to leave for my hike in the morning. Hopefully tomorrow as I head out for my hike and say to myself, my pre-hike ritual, I remember that bear spray is not a toy. And hopefully we learn from this that if you're going to test bear spray, know that it is a real weapon and please, for my sake, test it outside with the wind, probably. I don't know. I'm no expert, clearly. And then they just end it.
And that's all. Well, I've said this before, but we've had an incident. Me and Ian had an incident once with bear spray and it was so awful. And it wasn't even a full spray. It's like it leaked somehow and it got it was like in the side pocket of the of our packs. It leaked or something and got on something and I didn't know. And I went to reach for it and it got on my hands and then it got in his hand and it was a mess and it was awful. And I can't even imagine a full spray of it because that was pretty brutal.
This isn't bear spray, it's mace, but I will always remember in college my roommate Erin, who you know, and if you're listening, I'm sorry, I'm retelling the story, but she had just got pepper spray and she had it on her keys and we were in college and we were walking and she's like, yeah, I'm really excited. I have this pepper spray. Look, like, let's see how far it shoots out. And she picks it up, holds it out in front of her and sprays it forward. But unluckily for her, the wind was coming towards her and it was kind of strong too. And immediately the spray comes back and she pepper sprayed herself in the face. And we luckily there was a bathroom not too far away that we ran into, and she's like washing her eyes out. And we're like, we were with me and my other roommate and we were kind of laughing and also sad for her too, because it was funny how it happened, but it sucked that it was happening. She was clearly in pain. But it was, I'll never forget that. If you are spraying anything, do not spray it right in front of your face and make sure that the wind is not coming towards you as well.
Yeah. And in the context of the bear spray, at least, I don't know about pepper spray or mace, but there are bear sprays out there that you can get that come in packs where one is a blank. So it is the same like size, it's in the same can, it has the same mechanisms. Right. Yeah. So you can practice with it, so you don't have to practice with the actual bear mace. But it's, yeah, just like a blank. And that's how I first familiarized myself with bear spray. And it was very helpful.
Bear spray also comes out a lot stronger than mace does. So like if you're in a situation with a bear and it's like windy, like you don't have to worry as much. I mean, if you spray bear spray, you're probably gonna feel the effects anyway, at least a little bit. But if you spray bear spray and there's a gust of wind, you don't have to be like, well, I have to wait for the gust of wind before I can spray this. You know, it's
no one's gonna think
it's very powerful. But just in case anyone was like, oh no, no, I have to worry about bear spray. It's mace. Mace comes out a lot lighter than bear spray does. And just don't mace yourself or bear spray yourself.
Speaking of bear spray, I was going through our suggestions recently and somebody wrote in and said you should do a story on the history of UDAP bear spray, which is like a very, very popular brand of bear mace. Mm-hmm. And like you would recognize the logo, I'm sure. Like your bear mace maybe even is that brand. But the whole reason the guy created it is because he got attacked by a bear in Montana by a grizzly.
Interesting.
And then he's like the founder of that spray and stuff. So I don't know.
It's good marketing. I mean,
who it's are like, you trust me
more than someone who has experienced what happens if you don't have it.
Right.
Over the last few years, I have been struggling to shut my brain off at night. Between different events we're playing and being inundated with social media content, it can be hard to unplug and unwind. But I have found relief and peace with Soles Out of Office gummies. They help me relax, quiet my thoughts, and fall asleep naturally with just the right balance of CBD and THC to get me in the restful state I need to chill the F out. With wellness at the forefront, you can feel good about what you're putting in your body. All of Soles products are made from organically farmed USA grown hemp and are vegan, gluten-free, low in sugar, and federally legal. Soles is a wellness brand that believes feeling good should be fun and easy. Soles specializes in delicious, hemp-derived THC and CBD products designed to boost your mood and help you unwind. Their best-selling out-of-office gummies were designed to provide a mild, relaxing buzz, boost your mood, and enhance creativity and relaxation. And with 5 different strengths, you can tailor the dose to fit your vibe. From a gentle 1.5 milligram microdose, which I prefer, to their newest 15 milligram gummy for a more elevated experience. Like I said, I lean towards taking the 1.5 milligram at night, but if I need some help unwinding during the day, I reach for their out-of-office beverage. They are so good, they feel like a little treat and give me the chill out I need without pushing me over the edge, so I can still get what I need done. Bring on the good vibes and treat yourself to Soul today. Right now, Soul is offering our audience 30% off of your entire order. Go to getsoul.com and use the code NPAD. That's getsoul.com. Promo code NPAD for 30% off.
Okay, so my next story is titled Becoming a Woman at Crater Lake National Park. I am a new listener of the podcast, but can't believe it's taking me so long to hop on the NPAD train. I love listening to the episodes on my daily walks and my drives to work. Thank you for keeping me company these past few months. I'm writing in to share a defining moment in my life which occurred at a national park. Thought people could maybe relate or at least laugh at my experience. Either way, it's totally fine with me. I'm originally from Vermont, and my parents are outdoor fanatics who also happen to be teachers. So during the summer before I started seventh grade, they decided to take me and my younger brother on a six-week road trip across the country to visit some national parks that either held emotional significance to them or parks they had never been to but had always wanted to see. In June of 2012, we all packed into our Jeep Cherokee with a pop-up camper hitched onto the back, and we were off. It was a formative summer in many ways. We visited parks like Mesa Verde, Yellowstone, Zion, Sand Dunes, Arches, Crazy Horse, etc., but one park stands out for me in particular, and that is Crater Lake. It was early July by the time we made it to Oregon, so we were maybe 2.5 weeks into our trip. We pulled into the parking lot and clambered out to start the trek to the lake. When we reached the viewing area, I was mesmerized. It was a beautiful day, and I had never seen water so blue in all of my 12 whole years of life. My brother, on the other hand, was not as impressed. When planning the trip, my parents let each of us pick one national park which we wanted to visit, and Crater Lake was his choice. Mine was Mount Rushmore, and yes, I do regret it. Once we visited...
It's like of all the national parks, every single one,
I pick Mount Rushmore.
I mean,
you live, you learn.
Not even the Badlands. The Badlands are right there.
They did mention they stopped a Crazy Horse. So there is that. And I don't know. I can kind of see, like, this person is 12 years old at the time.
You learned so much about Mount Rushmore at that time. And it's
that's like peak Mount Rushmore. Mount Rushmore's on everything.
Yeah.
When you're 12 years old, it's like everywhere in every textbook, on every poster, in every history class. So I can see.
The only national park you even know about is Mount Rushmore.
Right. Yeah. So it's like, I can understand why you're like, I got to see this baby in person. Once we reached the end of the trail, with the expanse of cerulean spread out before us, he paused and listlessly stated, "So, it's just a lake." Morale continued to deteriorate as we left the park to drive to our campsite, and my dad suddenly realized that he had put his digital camera down on the top of the car after we finished our hike and had forgotten to grab it before we drove away. We turned around and searched along the road and in the parking lot for signs of the lost camera, but alas, the camera was nowhere to be found. We arrived at Mazama Campground and indulged in a sad and quiet family meal of pesto pasta and canned peaches. Yum. We took turns trekking to the bathrooms, which were a 3-minute walk from our camper, to brush our teeth and then climbed into bed. I woke up around midnight feeling weird. Lightheaded, nauseous, feverish, and an extra layer of something strange. There was a cramping in my abdomen that I had never felt before. I woke my mom up and she walked with me to the bathrooms. Half delusional and sick in a bathroom stall, I asked my mom, "What is happening to me?" Her answer, "You're becoming a woman." Whatever that meant. Eventually, we walked back to the camper, but my stomach jolted and I turned us right back around. I made it within 15 feet of the bathrooms before I puked up half-digested pesto pasta and canned peaches onto the side of the trail. I woke up the next morning to find that not only did I feel a lot better, but also that my shorts felt strangely damp. So my mom dragged me back past the shameful puke pile and taught me how to use a pad in the Crater Lake campground bathroom. After finding out that I had gotten sick the night before, my brother, forever the hypochondriac, convinced himself that he was coming down with whatever I had. My mom, doing her very best not to embarrass me, tried to explain to him that this was not an illness that he could catch, nor would ever catch this illness. This tactic did not work, and eventually, after he started to complain of a stomach ache, I told him the truth. I had just gotten my very first period. He suddenly and miraculously felt so much better. The rest of the trip went on without a hitch, but I will never be able to think of Crater Lake without remembering this formative piece of my lore. I like to think that this was the universe telling me that my womanhood and the great outdoors go hand in hand. Or maybe life just sucks sometimes and you get your first period at Crater Lake. Thanks so much for all that you do to support our nation's beautiful parks. Your podcast brings me joy, laughter, and hope. Best, Isabel.
That's a cool first period story.
I could not tell you when. I know I was young. I got my first period very young.
Did you?
I remember when. Like, it wasn't a memorable moment.
I don't remember. And I thought it would be, too, because I remember, like, taking classes and learning about your period and being like, I'm going to know when this happens, and don't wear white shorts or don't wear white clothes, white pants, white shorts, anything. As soon as I learned about a period, I didn't want to wear anything white just in case. And I remember during my, during the class, because we were in sixth grade, they taught us about our periods. And during that class, I remember I thought I got my period and I definitely did not. I think that
it's
like,
actually happening.
There was like a dot on my underwear and I was like, it's here. And it was not. But that's my only memory of my first period. But then after that, I didn't get it till I was like 14 or something.
That's so funny that you bring up the white, because have you seen those memes where it's like talking about like the sun exploding or the Bermuda Triangle or something, and just learning about it and thinking it was going to be like such a huge problem in your everyday life?
Yeah.
I thought that like white, wearing white was going to be a huge problem because my period could come at any time. And lo and behold, wearing white has never been an issue for me. I don't think I own anything pure white.
Yeah.
Like, especially bottoms. Like, the whole don't wear white after Labor Day, never an issue for me.
It's like, never wore it to begin with. Yeah. I remember I had white jeans forever and I never wore them and I ended up donating them. I have like one picture in college where I'm wearing white pants though, and I can,
because you were afraid of your period, or you just didn't wear
them? I just don't wear white pants because they're not practical at all. Like, you know what, everything, you don't always sit on clean surfaces and you eat, and just white pants don't make any sense.
Yeah. Whenever I see someone in a white pant, I'm like, oh, they have their life together.
Yeah. You have to have your life together to wear white pants. That's brave.
One of my nicknames growing up my family had for me was Messomatic. Like, I'm a messy, like, especially eating, I'm just like a very messy eater. So I could never.
Noticed you being a mess. You're a very fast eater. Okay. I don't even see you eat. Like, or well, I see you eat, but it's gone in like 1 second. Like, I've taken like 3 bites and your meal is gone. And I'm like, oh my God.
It's so funny you say that, because a couple months ago, and I know this about myself, I do know this, and I'm kind of trying to become more aware of it. It was never an issue, and it's usually not an issue because I'm by myself when I'm eating. So I don't need to be cognizant of that. But and even when I'm with you, it's like we're not like at a formal sit down thing. It doesn't matter. But like a month ago, I don't know when, whatever it was, Jeff and I were out to dinner in Boston, and it was a combination of me eating fast, but also I was starving, and also this was like a really good meal, like one of the best meals I've ever had, type of thing. Yeah. And it was like a ravioli. So they only gave me like 7 or 8 little raviolis. It wasn't a huge meal, but then he had like a giant pizza to himself. So he said like one thing. By the time he even finished his sentence, I was literally done. And I've never seen someone react to my eating like that before. He's like, what just happened? He's like, oh, I've never
seen
someone.
Where did it go? It was like picking up the plate. Like,
I was like scraping the sauce. Like, I was done. He's like, he didn't even have one slice down. Like, it was just, I'm like, I'm so sorry. And then it was weird because
he was alone eating.
Right. And I didn't know where to look. I'm like, I should have just taken this one ravioli at a time. Like, and put down my fork. It's like the same thing
with walking. Life mantra. One ravioli at a time.
Truly. Same thing with walking, though. I have to be cognizant to walk slow when I'm with people.
Yeah.
Because otherwise,
quickly,
I'm alone. Walking very far ahead of everybody. Oh, Lord. What were you talking about? Periods. I don't know what happened.
Anyway, cool story about your period. I mean, it is. I think that it's nature. You know,
I would love to hear about people's memorable formative moments. It doesn't have to be your period, because clearly I don't remember. I remember
the first time you shit yourself in the woods. That has been a common thing.
No, we get enough. Do you know how many shit stories we get? You don't even know.
We did ask for them.
No,
we did.
I asked for embarrassing stories, and everyone just happens to.
The embarrassing stories usually involve shit.
I feel like we need to expand beyond that, because. Yes, that's embarrassing, but
the most embarrassing, arguably. I'm honestly honored that people trust us with their shit stories, because that is, I feel like those are kind of sacred. Yeah.
Yeah. We were just talking about that like a couple days ago.
Yeah.
People just shitting their pants feels like it should be something that's
men. I don't know if men are just more comfortable with telling the stories of them shitting their pants, or if men truly shit their pants more than women.
No, I think it's that. I think it's both, but I don't know what's going on biologically, but I feel like they're just more prone to, I don't know, whatever. I don't want to talk about this anymore.
I want to tell you guys about a podcast that I think is mandatory listening for any true crime fan. It's called Small Town Dicks. On Small Town Dicks, the hosts sit down with real detectives to hear the stories of the cases that stayed with them long after the investigation ended. Cases that shaped their careers and their lives. These aren't dramatizations or secondhand retellings. These are firsthand accounts from the people who were in the room, on the scene, and solving the case. The show is hosted by Emmy-winning actress Yardley Smith, yes, the voice of Lisa Simpson, alongside identical twin detectives Dan and Dave, and renowned cold case investigator Paul Holes, who developed the revolutionary DNA technology that helped catch the Golden State Killer. Over the last 16 seasons, Small Town Dicks has built a reputation for respectful, compelling storytelling and offers an extremely rare behind-the-scenes look at how investigations actually unfold, from the first lead to the final arrest and the emotional toll it takes on everyone involved. So if you're ready for a true crime podcast that trades sensationalism for substance, check out Small Town Dicks. You can find it wherever you get your podcasts or at smalltowndicks.com.
Anyway, our next story is, mine is titled, Was It Our Imagination? I don't think so. Hi, ladies. My name is Trish. I wanted to first thank you for the great podcast and how much effort you put into the stories that you tell. My story happened over several years ago. I grew up in a rural area as a kid. We didn't care or even pay attention to people's financial, social status, or any of that kind of thing. We played with whatever kids were around. My friend Jen and I would play at each other's houses as often as we could, and just down the gravel road from her house was a rundown house with a gaggle of kids that we would play with. All of a sudden, the family was gone and the house was boarded up. Being young, maybe 10 or 12, we just thought they moved and didn't think anything of it. Then, strange things started happening when we were together at her house. One example was when she had a slumber party for her birthday. I think it was her 14th birthday. I went to her house early to help her get ready for the party, and we were getting the living room ready with sleeping bags and lots of pillows when we both stood at the window that faced the old rundown house and we were frozen in our tracks. Her dad asked us what was wrong, and we told him that smoke was coming out of the chimney of that house. He said that wasn't possible since the chimney had fallen off and away from the house. Later that night, when all the other girls fell asleep, she and I moved to a corner of the room away from the other girls so we could talk about what we saw until we fell asleep. I woke up feeling that someone was standing on my arm at the same time she felt like someone was pinching her leg. No one was near us when this happened, but I ended up with a bruise on my arm the size of a child's foot. Over the years, we had other odd occurrences, but only when we were together at her house, like hearing hands or something dragging down the walls of the hallway outside her room, clothes in her closet moving on the hanging bar, a hairbrush breaking the mirror of her antique dressing table. Yes, we saw the brush fly across the room. At around the age of 16, we decided that it would be a good idea that we stop getting together at her house since scary things only happen when we were together. When we told our moms about our plan, we had told them about everything that we had experienced as it happened. They told us what happened at that rundown house. Apparently, the family that had five or six kids that we played with had a child that they had locked in the closet in that house, and she eventually passed away from neglect. The parents were arrested and the kids went into foster care. We didn't know about the little girl that died in the house, but feel like she was the cause of all the disturbing things that we experienced. We've never been in that house together again, and neither of us had had any other experiences.
That's really frightening.
That's a really sad story. That's awful.
To have like an actual potential explanation that's so sad, and like as a kid not understanding either, like that's just, I don't know
what
that's
happened.
Creepy
there. Yeah, and the fact that you were like there playing with the kids and like the whole neighborhood didn't know what was going on, and then
yeah,
that's so That always makes me, that always breaks my heart when you hear of kids that are neglected and abused. And I just, those stories are really tough.
And it's always kind of like, I shouldn't say always, but often it's like the neighbors would never suspect type of thing. Like I had totally. No idea that this was happening, or I wouldn't have suspected those people to be the culprits of something so evil, you know?
I think it's hard to comprehend that anyone is capable of that. I mean, there's no one that I've ever met that I've been like, they are capable of something like that. And collectively, we both know someone who was convicted of something similar. So, I mean, I do have we? Never – we do.
Me?
Yes.
Oh, yes. Oh, my God. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Wow. A huge case in New Hampshire. I would have never thought, and I didn't know them super well or anything, but I would never suspect anything like that. And I think that that's the thing, is no one suspects that anyone is capable of such cruelty until it's too late, which is really tough. And what happens inside people's homes are often really secretive and people just don't know. So stories like that always just make me really, really sad.
Well, I will turn it around with my last story.
Okay.
And it's titled Nature's Toilet Never Gets Robbed. Hey ladies, I love the pod and have been really inspired by you two to get out there more as a solo female traveler. So maybe that means you're responsible for what happened to my story. Just kidding.
Oh no.
Anyways, I'm a graduate student in Colorado, but my research takes me to Southern Oregon a couple times a year. This past summer was my first field season, so I was doing my best to explore whenever I could on weekends and breaks. I visited the Redwoods, Crater Lake National Park, and Oregon Caves National Monument, and was having a great time hiking and seeing the sights on my own, all while listening to your podcast, of course. On my final weekend, I decided to make the 3-hour drive to Lava Beds National Monument. Now, one thing you should know about me. I hate peeing in the woods. Yes, I love hiking. Yes, I love nature. But I'm a shy peer, okay? So I had my morning coffee, hit the road, and 2 hours in, I was desperate. There had been literally nothing around for hundreds of miles except dense forest. So when I finally saw a gas station in the middle of nowhere, I took a hard right into the parking lot. When I entered the store, there was a man standing behind the cash register, so I abandoned all pretenses of buying something and immediately asked where their bathroom was. He stared at me and said, "How did you get in here?" Now, I've never been asked that question before, so I'm pretty sure I just gestured vaguely at the front door and said something like, through the door. Then he said, "I don't work here, and they're not open." I immediately apologized and left. It wasn't until 10 minutes down the road that it hit me. That guy had totally been robbing the place. And somehow, through sheer confusion, his and mine, I just walked right back out. I can't stop thinking about whoever.
I don't work here, and this building is closed.
I'm trying to commit a crime. Like,
can you please leave? It's not a great time.
I can't stop thinking about whoever had to review that security footage. Just me confidently strolling into an act of robbery, asking to use the bathroom, and then apologizing to the robber and leaving totally unfazed. So anyways, enjoy the view, but maybe just pee in the woods next time. I just envision this Spider-Man meme, and they're just like, pointing finger guns at each other, not knowing what to do.
Yeah. And I'd love to get confused. The robber's point of view.
And totally not panic and just being like, yeah, you got – I think if I was robbing it, I would have just gestured to the back. Like, it's a gas station, right? There's got to be a bathroom in the back. And just being
I
like –
I don't know. I think
to
I
not cause
say-
– like draw
I think
attention.
I would say the same thing, like, I don't work here and it's not open, because I wouldn't want them to go to the bathroom and then come out and then like realize that no one's around.
Okay, but by saying I don't work here and they're not open, then why are you here?
That raises questions for me. Yeah, but I think I would be similar to this person where I wouldn't really think about it. I would just be like, oh, okay. And then I'd leave, because I wouldn't put two and two together until after I left. I don't think I would be like, what are you doing here? Like, I'm
so
not
you
that
tell
nerdy.
Me.
Yeah.
What's up
so
with you?
You tell me what you're doing. I think I would be the same thing. I'd be like, oh, this is awkward. And like, kind of leave. Like, sorry, I'm disturbing you in your home. Or like, I don't know. I'd be like, clearly you're supposed to be here, but I'm not. I don't know. I would just love to get the robber's perspective of like, yeah, I was in the middle of robbing. I had a timeline. I was trying to get out. And then this girl just interrupted me. I thought I had to run, but then she just needed to use the bathroom and we were both confused. I don't know. I would just love to get their perspective.
All senses do kind of go out the window when you have to pee that bad. Yeah. I can't relate because I will pee anywhere.
Yeah.
Like I don't have the shyness factor, but it, like you just, everything starts to go, your judgment and perception of the world kind of just gets skewed when you have to pee so bad. You're like, I don't care. I literally don't care if you're actively robbing the place. I just need to pee.
It's like, do your thing. I'm not a snitch.
Anyways, okay, well, that's all three of my stories.
Cool. Well, thank you everyone for hanging out and tuning in this week for Trail Tales. If you are interested in hanging out with us for our next Trail Tales, we have two if you're on Patreon or Apple subscriptions. And mine is titled The Time My Mom Narrowly Avoided a Machete Wielding Man on the AT.
Okay. Mine is titled Don't Fuck with Bob.
Don't Fuck with Bob?
Yeah.
Oh. I'm interested in both of these stories, and you guys should come hang out with us on Patreon and listen to them.
Okay. Well, we will see everybody next week. In the meantime, enjoy the view.
But watch your back.
See ya.
Thank you for joining us again this week. If you have a trail tale of your own you'd like to share, you can write to us at npadstories@gmail.com or visit our website at npadpodcast.com. Bonus trail tales and content are available to Patreon members and Apple subscribers. Follow the show on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, and X at National Park After Dark. And if you prefer to watch our episodes, you can find us on YouTube at National Park After Dark. And as always, if you enjoy the show, please take a moment to rate, review, and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.